The subject today is a little different, what is and what is not God's purpose for you. And the passage is a little odd, but it's an instructive passage. And I invite everybody to hear these words because I have needed to hear these words and see the principles that are found in 2 Samuel 7. A few years ago, she had an art show, and it was 110 degrees. Well, maybe not, but it was close. It was just a miserable experience. I mean, miserable. Calling, crying on the phone. Do I exaggerate? You know, it was just a miserable experience. So I said, well, I was there. It was dusty. It was just miserable. For her, I was at home. But I said, what can I do for her? And I said, well, you know, if I cooked a big supper, you know, wouldn't it be great to walk into a big supper? And so I fried chicken. I mean, I had a big supper or something like that. And she came in and she was roasted, you know, just tired. I mean, I went and got her and all. It was bad. And I was expecting this bountiful meal. For her to say, oh, thou great husband, your thoughtfulness supersedes anything. Instead, she said something like this. She said, you know, the effort, you know, I appreciate, but if you were doing something for me, you wouldn't have fried chicken. You'd have fixed something else, yeah. And, you know, I thought about that, and she was probably right. I tried to do something good, but I did it, you know, kind of to serve me a little bit. I read a story, and this is a little more serious, a little better story, about a girl who trained for the mission field. She trained to go on the mission field, and she was ready, did all the schooling, everything, and waiting to go on the mission field, her sister and brother-in-law were killed in a car accident and left 4 children. And she was, you know, trying to help, and the thought of putting these children in an orphanage, she just couldn't do it. So finally she said, well, I'm not going to be able to go on the mission field. I'm going to stay here and raise my sister's children, which she did. And it may on the outside look like that she missed the mission field, but her sister and brother-in-law were not Christian. These 4 kids now came into a Christian home and were raised, and all 4 became Christian and served the Lord. The mission field was not there. It was here. David had a great idea. Now, in 2 Samuel 7, we'll read some of the verses along the way. But David was there, and it was probably the best time of his life. Everything was going well. He was just in the luxurious house. He was, you know, the wars had subsided. He was there. Everything was going fine. And he had a thought. He said, here I live in this big cedar house, and God's house is but a tent. Now, God's house being the place where they kept the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy of Holies, so to speak. It was a temporary shelter, and God's house was a tent. So David said, you know what? I think I need to build God a house. That's a good idea. Wouldn't you agree? A great idea. Now, I don't know. He may have had genuine motives. You know, I want to build God a house because I want to serve the Lord. It may have been a, you know, ulterior motive. I don't know the motive. But I want to build God a house. And God came back and gently and gentlemanly, nicely said, I don't want you to build me a house. A house will be built for me by your descendants. But I don't want you to build me a house. Now, you know, on the outside looking in, it's like, you know, well, God, are you, you know, why would you do that to David? And I don't know the reasons, although I've got some ideas, and I'll get to those in a few minutes. But I want to make this statement. Sometimes we think we have a purpose, and God forbids that purpose because he has another purpose for our life. It may be as a church. Or as an individual, I'm dressed up and I'm ready to go. And as far as I can tell, that's my purpose. And God says, no, your purpose is actually this. And I want you to go this way. And sometimes there's even disappointment about that, at least initially, until we realize that God is painting the big picture. We're but a stroke or two on the picture. So turn to 2 Samuel 7. Like I said, we won't read all the verses here. But it is very interesting to read. I want to just pull out a couple to to start with. Verse 2, actually, the king said to Nathan, "See how I dwell in the house of cedar, but the ark dwells in a tent." And Nathan said to the king, good advice, by the way, "Go do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the Lord spoke to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with the people of Israel, did I speak a word with all the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people, Israel, saying, would you not build me a house of cedar?" Now we'll stop reading there for a moment. But I want to say, first of all, that David had a desire. And sometimes we have a desire. It may be something we've seen. We may see somebody do something and say, I want to do that as well. We may see a church, we say, you know, I want to be like that. Our pastor, I want to be this way. It'd be like me sometimes. I would like to sing to the masses. You know, I wouldn't get caught up in all the ego stuff. I'd just be a singer for Jesus. I don't know, maybe Jesus knows that if I were there, I'd be caught up in the ego stuff more than anybody else. So he gave me a middling voice. Although, you know, around the house, I sing like Bing Crosby and I croon, you know. And they all say to me, they say, you know, Dad, you know, your own key. What is it that I have wrong all the time? Is it the key? Yeah. Change keys. Yeah, and I just, you know, consider that just, you know, but they, evidently this key thing is important when you sing. But I like to do that, but, you know, I'm not gifted in that area. So I am not, my purpose is not to be a great singer. I get that, even though I might have the desire. David had a good desire. As David sat in his palace, he felt guilty that he lived in the lap of luxury and God's stuff was in a tent. Now, he even realized then that God's, you know, presence was beyond that, but his presence where they went and they encountered God was in the tent. Let's get God out of the tent. That sounds great. And, you know, it's a good motive. In 2 Chronicles 6, 7, and 9, we see that this the grounds there where the Holy of Holies was to be a certain way. And we understand that God's presence is not dependent on the shell. It was a gracious desire. Notice that David asked. He did not asking anything for himself. Not asking for to move out of a cedar house to a marble house. He said, let's get God up to date. And by the way, let's stop right there. Let me make a point. A lot of people are trying to get God up to date. And they're really getting him out of date. A lot of people are trying to make God palatable to the world instead of presenting God as he is to the world. You know, if we got God out of the tent and we put him into something really attractive with neon lights, people would be attracted to the Lord. If we could get God out of the Bible and get God more hip to our culture, we could really attract people to God. Now, that all sounds good, but you better make sure that the God of Scripture hasn't been changed in that process. And a lot of people try to change God in that process. In 2 Corinthians 9, 7, Paul writes, "Every man according to how he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." And we get that. David was giving out of his heart. I really want this tent to be gone. You know, it doesn't look right. It doesn't look right for me to live here and for God's stuff to be there. A godly desire. Let me make a key point again. If Scripture says to do it, you don't have to wonder if it's the purpose for your life. You need to do it. Now, we get that. If the Scripture says, share Christ and make disciples with the nations, then we should share Christ and make disciples with the nations. Now, how you do it may be a specific purpose for your life. It's good to have a dream. Man, I have dreams all the time. You know, sometimes my dreams are big and sometimes they're small. Sometimes my dreams are nothing more than some temporary thing that I need. Sometimes my dreams are bigger than that. And I have a large purpose. There's some things I prayed over 30 years ago that the Lord is still fulfilling in my life today. Praise the name of the Lord. So it's good to dream. It's good to have a good, gracious, godly dream. But notice that the dream did not come from God. It came from David. Now we need to be careful here, because sometimes we have dreams, we have desires, we have plans, and we take them to God, and we want God to make those plans His plans. And we get the order reversed sometimes. God, what is your dream for me? Instead of, God, here's my dream, make it happen. The second thing, there was denial. Now, I hate denial. I mean, I hate the word no, unless I'm saying it. I really do. The other night, my mother had fixed some snacks, right? And we were eating the snacks, and we ate crackers. We were in the car, and there was the promise of Nutty Butter bars. At least we thought there was the promise, didn't we, Benjamin? Well, she didn't put as many in the package as she thought. And Benjamin and I had finished our peanut butter crackers, and we were ready for our Nutty Butter bars, and they were gone. And there was denial. And there was wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's kind of like, I had this thing in my mind, and now it's taken from me. I've been denied. You know, I've asked, and I've gotten a no. I've said, hey, I want this, and I had a no. But God said no in a very interesting way. Notice what He said to Nathan. He said, have I asked for this house to be built? Verse 8. Now, therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be the prince over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies before you. And I will make for you a great name, like one of the great ones on earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, so that they may dwell in their own place, and may not be disturbed anymore. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly. For the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Interesting passage. David, I have been with you since you were a shepherd boy. I'm going to protect you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you a name that is one of the great names of all time. We're still talking about the name David today. David, a man after God's own heart. But David, I don't want you building a house for me. Instead, I will let your descendants, your son, actually, Solomon, will build a house for me. Now, it's tempting. It is tempting at times to be drawn into the I've got to do it in order to build my name. Now, David didn't build the temple, and God still gave him a name. I can think of people on the mission field who had nothing, who poured their lives out for the Lord, and they built nothing, but they still have a name because people know their names to this day. Take a moment. I'd like for you to think of somebody who influenced you for Christ. Somebody give me a name or two. Just name a name. Somebody who really influenced you for Christ. Steve. Miss Phil. Anybody else? Jennifer. Melanie. Those names. Mr. Turner. We can think of the names. We all have got those names. Most of those names are not household names, but you know them. And I would suspect that when the throne gathers in heaven and there's a party going on, when somebody comes to the kingdom, that those names are known. You remember the song years ago, Ray Bolts, who's gone off the deep end. But anyway, Ray Bolts sang a great song, Thank You. Remember, thank you for giving. I won't sing it because I go off key. But thank you. And it depicted being in heaven. And how, you know, somebody walks in and there's somebody there that says, thank you, Bill. Now, it may be the fellow in the hospital a year or two ago. Thank you. Thank you for being faithful to witness to me. But even in our efforts to reach the world for Christ, there are things that are tempered. David remembers that he's now king. He's been defeating enemies, but God reminds him, David, it's because of me that you got there. Now, take the name Jennifer. Jennifer, great name. Influence Christy for Christ. But it's because that God put something in Jennifer to go witness to Christy. It wasn't Jennifer. It was God in Jennifer that did that. We are tempered by God's promises. In the Davidic covenant, we see that God says, I will build a house. And he did build a house. Solomon built a house years later. And he built this house. And he also established a land for them. He said, I want a permanent land for people. David, y'all been moving around. He probably didn't use the word y'all, but y'all been moving around. And I want to give you a permanent land. I want to give you somewhere where the people can put roots down. They're going to stay. Be put for a while. In Scotland, there was a family by the name of Clark, and this family had a dream. Husband and wife and their 9 children. They're thinking of a dream. 9 children were planning to be immigrants to the United States. They were set to go. They were to sail in 1 week to the United States. One of their children was bitten by a dog. And no problem. The doctor stitched it up and so forth. But as was the custom, especially when you're going to travel, there's a quarantine of 2 weeks during in that time period. And for 2 weeks, they had to let the boy stay at home to make sure that he did not receive any disease, rabies, or anything like that. So they missed the ship. The father went down to the docks and watched the ship leave the shore that he had planned to take he and his family to America on, and he was distraught. The news came a few days later that ship sank, the Titanic sank on the North Atlantic. Sometimes God's no, his redirection, is not only for his benefit, it is for ours as well. There have been so many things in my life, you know, I really wanted, and God said no to those things. And in saying no to those things, I can now look back and say, it would have been bad for me had I had what I wanted at the time I wanted it. So make sure your dreams are God's dreams. You may not have gotten all you wanted out of life, but God has given you so much more than you imagine. You may not be able to build the temple for the Lord, but God's reminding David, I brought you out, I protected you from enemies, I've taken you from shepherd to king, and your name will be known. Number 3. There was a devotion that David exhibited. I wish I could do this. When David got the denial, in starting of verse 18, does anybody have a headline of verse 18 above verse 18 there? David's prayer. David went to prayer. Just like we see from Lot. You know, go to praise and worship when you get a stop sign. And he went to prayer and he had this great devotion that he showed to the Lord. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord. No, he went in. Can you imagine going to the tent? Going in the tent. No more talking to Nathan now. I'm going to go in there. Who am I, O Lord? And what is my house that you have brought me this far? And yet this was a small thing in your eyes, O Lord God. You have spoken also of your servant's house for a great while to come. And this instruction for mankind, O Lord God. And what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O Lord God. Because of your promise and according to your own heart, you have brought about all this greatness to make your servant know it. Therefore you are great, O Lord God. For there is none like you. There is no God beside you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And who is like your people, Israel, the one nation on the earth whom God went to redeem to be his people, making himself a name and doing for them great and awesome things by driving out before your people, whom you redeemed for yourself from Egypt and its gods. And you established for yourself your people, Israel, to be your people forever. And you, O Lord, because they're God. And now, O Lord God, confirm forever the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, and do as you have spoken. Let's end our reading there for a moment. David's saying, okay, I get the message. I'm not going to build your house, but my descendants will. God, fulfill that promise. In the New Testament, we see an interesting passage Paul writes, and he said, you know, some of you have started to follow men. Some of you are following me, and you call yourself a Paulite. Some of you are following Apollos, and you're fighting with each other because you're following one of us instead of following Christ. Sometimes I plant and Apollos waters, somebody else reaps. Sometimes Apollos plants, I water, and somebody else reaps. It's not me, it's not Apollos that need to be followed, it is Jesus. Amen. I remember an FCA camp years ago, I was not there, somebody told me about it, and Dan DeHaan, a tremendous Bible teacher, he was a chaplain for the Atlanta Falcons years ago, died at an early age. And Dan DeHaan was talking, and the boys said, he got them really revved up, and he said, would you follow this, and would you follow that? And they're all, yes, yes, yes. He said, would you follow me to the ends of the earth? And they all said, yes. And Dan looked at them and said, don't ever follow a man. Follow Jesus. And there's a key point to that. And David had this great devotion to the Lord. It was a humble devotion. It was a holy devotion and very honorable. In verses 27 through 29, Matthew, in Matthew, we see basically when Jesus says, thy kingdom come in the Lord's Prayer, that is basically what David was saying. Your kingdom be done, Lord. What should our response be when God says no? We should remember who he is, where he has brought us, and that he has a perfect plan for our life. Now, I want to mention a few things as we close here. Four things. Sometimes dreams, sometimes a purpose is forbidden, but that does not make it wrong. It might be a great thing that somebody wants to sing for Jesus, but for me, that has been forbidden just simply because of talent. One time we had a music group somewhere and they came and they're... I think their name was Sunrise People or something like that. And they were so bad. We were talking about this like listening to Sundown. It was just bad. And you know, you wanted to go and tell them, I appreciate your enthusiasm. I appreciate what you want to do for Jesus here. But you know, God has not gifted you in this area. And, you know, people have mentioned that to me about stuff like singing. So sometimes it's forbidden, but it was not wrong. The spirit in which the offer was made was great. David said, I want to do this for you, Lord. You know, I want this to happen for you. And we want things to happen for the Lord. I heard on the radio, I mean, it was pretty powerful. I heard John Crowell a few weeks ago. And John was talking about all the stuff they do, and he was giving a lot of tough love about parents and about kids and runaways and all kind of stuff. And this lady called in, and she had some issues, and she shared her issues, and they talked a minute about that. And she said, I just want to come and work and reach kids and work in a ministry like yours. And John said, it was so forceful. He said, let me tell you something. You don't need to be coming to work with our kids. You have issues of your own and they need to be dealt with. The issues won't go away by coming to relieve your guilt by working with our kids. You need to deal with those issues. You don't need to transfer those issues to our kids. I was like, whoa, wow. But it was clear. Your purpose right now is to get well. After you get well, we might see about an avenue of ministry. Very interesting. So the spirit of the offer was good. It may be a great desire, but sometimes it is not to be, at least for now. Number two, when our purposes, our desires, and our dreams are delayed or forbidden, it'll always be for a good reason. I don't know the reason. It may be because it would do something for me. Maybe David was going to try to build a name for himself by being one of the people who built the temple. Maybe God said, David, I've used you for wars and battles, and I don't want to use the king I've used for wars and battles as the king who built my temple. Maybe the children of Israel were not to the place where they needed. I don't know the reasons, but there is a good reason. And I want to say this. God's presence was not confined to a location. Maybe it meant that David missed it a little bit. David, I don't want to be in the tent, nor do I want to be in a permanent structure you build. My presence is going to be somewhere else. Because once the temple was built by Solomon, what happened to the temple? It was destroyed. And Jesus came, and when Jesus came, he talked about the rebuilding of the temple, and then in the whole fleshing out of that, we are the temple of the Lord. Now, you know, I'm not in any one place. I mean, I move around so much. It's a great thing that I don't have God connected to my house where I can't leave my house. I have God that goes with me. If God can dwell in a tent in Israel, then he can dwell in a crack pot like me. And I'm very thankful that God settled this principle years ago. I don't need a cedar house. I need you. I don't need what you think I need. I need all of you. The absence of a divine direction sometimes bothers us. And sometimes the waiting period bothers us. Sometimes taking a step this way and seeing a stop sign bothers us. It should not bother us. Lord, we have plans, but you guide our feet, as we read in the book of Proverbs. The time was not right. Maybe it was the wrong man. Number three, sometimes our plans, purposes, and dreams and desires are forbidden, but when they are, they will be forbidden in a gracious manner. God is not, you know, he's not like me. That's a dumb idea. He doesn't say that. He said, no, that's not the way I want to do that. I've got another plan. And you're going to be better suited here. You're going to be there. Your name may not be in neon lights, but I know your name. It's in the Lamb's Book of Life. God reminded David of what he had already done and what he will be doing in the future. And God promised David an enduring dynasty. That brings me to number four and finally. Sometimes our plans, our purposes, our dreams, our desires, everything we think is forbidden for a larger purpose. This is tough to take. In verse 12, it said, when your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, in other words, when you're dead, I will raise up offspring after you, and they shall fulfill this desire. You know, that's tough to take sometimes. It won't happen for you, but your kids, it's going to happen for them. And sometimes we need to look at our plans and purposes. Am I pouring myself out for the Lord? Is it about me, or is it about building the kingdom of God? Yesterday I was thinking to myself, I got up early, Mary Catherine had to go take the ACT, and I was glad it wasn't me. And as Mary Catherine and Christy left the house, I was thinking back to the first time I took the ACT test. It was the night after a football game. We went to Birmingham Southern College. We loaded up to go over there. I didn't know what the test was even about. Well, why am I taking this test again, you know? And I went, and I did not score well. And they said, oh, no, you need this score for college. So the next time, you know, I got down to brass tacks, studied, and, you know, and improved the score greatly. Anybody else have that experience, you know? They just loaded us up. There we go. And sometimes you get caught up into the whirlwind without planning to be there. Sometimes life comes along and it starts taking your ship and it's rocking the boat, and you hadn't planned on the boat being rocked. My purpose was to be on a sailboat in the middle of the bay on a nice, lazy April day enjoying life. And here I am in the midst of the storm. You ever found yourself there? Now I want to tell you this. If God has purpose for you to be in the midst of a storm, then he will give you all the equipment you need to go through the storm. God will not leave you in debt. He will not be your debtor. He will give you every piece of supply that you need along the way. He may not give it all at once. I want to see the storehouse, Lord. And it's enough for the Lord to say, I got the storehouse. Brings you to a poem. I don't do poems much. There's a reason for that. Not very poetic. I want you to hear this poem. called treasures. One by one, he took them from me, all the things I valued most, until I was empty-handed. Every glistening toy was toast. And I walked earth's highway grieving in my rags and poverty, till I heard his voice, "Lift those empty hands to me." So I held my hands toward heaven, and he filled them with a store of his transcendent riches, till they can contain no more. And at last I comprehended, with my stupid mind and dull, that God could not pour riches into hands already full. Now, you've probably heard that poem before, but it really says a lot. Most of the time, the reason we get stop signs and detours is because we have gotten on the wrong road. And the Lord is putting us back on the right road. It is not, "Lord, here are my plans, bless me." It is, "Here are my empty hands, put plans into my hands." What is the purpose for your life? Well, I can tell you what Scripture says, and we fulfill that. All the things Scripture commands us to do. But there are specific things, and I can't tell you that. But I'll say this. Sometimes it is tough, but we need to be walking with the Lord so that we'll know what our purpose is and is not. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes we have shattered dreams. Sometimes things have not turned out the way we thought they would turn out. Sometimes we have a measure of bitterness in our heart. Sometimes, Lord, we forget what you have done, and we're not really trusting on what you will, and we just see that our boat's in the middle of the storm. I pray, Father, that you'll help us to empty our hands of our desires, of our anxieties, of our bitterness, of our anger, and to put empty hands to you. And say, "Lord, even at this stage of my life, whatever stage that is, I want to be about your purpose for me." God, minister to us. Amen.